Show me the coin. Whose image and inscription is this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Fathers, dear seminarians, servers, choir, and faithful, and our visitors who are with us for the weekend, some of those who have participated in the young adult get-together from different parts of the country. On the 5th of February, 1867, 40 hours were being conducted in the parish church of a little town in Poland called Dubna. Their church had been spared destruction in the recent revolution. The Poles rose up in a vain attempt to reclaim their country from the Russians. The church was not destroyed. It was open for services. 40 hours saw the church full of very devout worshipers. When the guard of honor, the men privileged to kneel closest to the altar, were making their adoration at the very beginning, they saw in the sacred host the figure of a man in beautiful glowing rays of light, soft light, streamed from the monstrance. This lasted all 40 hours. People got to talking. Everyone who came to the church, Catholics and what were called the schismatics, the Russian Orthodox, they all came to see, and whoever came saw. The parish priest examined the miracle, and then he brought others whom he trusted, men whom he permitted to come right up to the monstrance to see. They were struck with awe. Some of them couldn't even ascend the steps. Word spread. The Orthodox ruling class, they told the police, and the police chief summoned the parish priest to give evidence. The governor was informed. You know what governors do. Well, he issued a mandate forbidding anybody to talk about it under pain of imprisonment. The priest gave a full report to his bishop, and the bishop's response, he begged everyone to say nothing, to keep silent, because he feared the Russians would come and close the church. Something about the clergy. Cowardice. Why is that temptation so strong? Couldn't the same God who had worked that miracle in the sacred host for the benefit of all, couldn't he have seen to the question of the church as well? After all, the miracle was for the consolation and the strength of his people and their conversion. Well, you know, it's that same spirit with which today's last gospel, the proper last gospel, Pentecost 22, begins. Fear, the leaders of the Jews and that smaller sect, the Herodians too, they feared our Lord as a troublemaker. Then we read about it later on in St. John, just before Holy Week, they had that meeting, the Sanhedrin, and the Jews got up and said, well, the Romans are going to come, and they'll take away our place and our people. You've got to do something about that man, troublemaker, Jesus of Nazareth. And so they resolve, and you have it at the beginning of the gospel, they're doing that. They have a little conspiracy. They're off to one side. They resolve to trap our Lord in his speech, to discredit him before the people and denounce him to the Roman authorities. Fear. Fast forward 100 years, and you can understand perhaps how it was that even priests and bishops in Eastern Europe, behind the Iron Curtain, in the 1950s, the 60s, really until 1989, how they would just say nothing. And even more, they would actually join the government-sponsored organization. Back then, it was called the Pax Priest Movement. Today in China, it's called the Patriotic Church Movement. The idea was that the clergy were to obey their orders and to spy on their faithful and even their fellow clergy. We had an interesting speaker into our young adult group in July when they met. And he had been raised, this man had, in Eastern Germany under the communist system. And one time he briefly joined the party, he got talking to a communist official, and he said, "Well, aren't you afraid? You've got all these churches open. Reformed, the Lutherans, they have their churches. The Catholics have their churches." And the man just laughed. And he said, "Well, no, we're not afraid. We control them all." And the Stasi records, ministers turning in their people, priests turning in their bishops, all the rest. Everyone spied on everyone else. It was absolutely controlled, they were, by fear. Today is the 65th anniversary of the ill-fated Hungarian Revolution against the Russians in 1956. There was a young lady of only 20, Maria Wittner, her name, who was arrested and put into prison, sentenced to death. It was later commuted, but under hard penitential conditions, had to sleep on a wooden plank and a slow sort of a starvation diet for rations. She was rearrested in prison once because she dared to tell the communist guard that he was a liar. At her second trial, the state prosecutor asked her why she must be so provocative. "Couldn't you just say that he wasn't saying the truth? Why call him a liar?" "Because it matters that we should speak plainly in these times," she answered. Later, she said, just a few years ago, commenting on the whole situation, "We live in a world of liars and of lies. We're surrounded by lies. It's your choice if you live in fear or in freedom of soul. Someone who is afraid will be made to do the most evil things. Indeed, those who are afraid always end up worse off than the brave." Our blessed Lord, in the Gospel, the last Gospel of the Mass, he knows what's going on, and he is not afraid. The Gospel starts with that conspiracy on the side, and it ends with Christ crushing them, exposing their hypocrisy, and how? By one simple question. "Show me," he said. "Show me the coin of the tribute." They wanted evidence, either to paint Christ as a rebel against the Roman government, or to destroy the good name of our Savior as a collaborator with the hated occupation authorities. And our Lord says, "Show me." And one of them immediately reaches into his pocket and pulls out the coin of the tribute. He's carrying Caesar's coin stamped with his image. And of course, for a Jew, that rendered one unclean ritually or impure. "Show me." Would our Lord say that to any of us this morning when the server takes away the veil again? What coin do you carry? If Christ's coin, then show me the works. Render tribute. You are carrying his image. He created you in the image and likeness of himself, of God. And he recreated, he remade you, he redeemed you, he bought you with the coin of his bitter passion and death. And your share in that is baptism and confirmation, which stamps you with his likeness. and his image. You will bear that character for all eternity. Character. Christ gives you a share in his. Your religion demands a little character on your part. Show some. Compromise, to compromise even in little ways, only sells you short. It's fear, isn't it? The pressure of the moment. Just say a word or two, or nothing. Just take a test or two. Just the jab. Well, just because. No, says Christ's courage and your Catholic faith. Courage, or you will be consumed. Your last state worse than your first. But we receive Holy Communion today if we are properly prepared, fasting and in the state of sanctifying grace. And thus are we strengthened to render to God first, and then secondly only to the government, to render what is just. But the government has no right to your body, no right to your immortal soul. It has no right for your DNA, or your children, or your life. No. If you reach into your pocket today and you find yourself short of funds and you're wondering how to pay, how to manage, remember the Sacred Host, the Blessed Sacrament, is shaped like a coin. It was a silver coin in today's gospel, but this coin, free, but of infinite price, this is a golden coin. With it, you pay your dues and your debts. It is Jesus Christ. He, as St. Paul says, he spends himself for you, and he is willingly spent by you. He is our all here in the Sacred Host. What encouragement it is to our faith that there should still be 40 hours and still be the Mass and still be Holy Communion, that fuel, that food for a brave faith and a fearless courage. The mystery of the faith is the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus Christ in this sacrament is the golden coin, his holy face, whereby we may atone for our sins and our offenses, and obtain, because there's always change left over. It is, after all, infinitely valuable. There's enough even with which to purchase the salvation of a country at its 11th hour. 40 hours. Will you go home today strengthened? Encouraged, not exactly having all the answers or a practical plan, but knowing that you will. Will you go home today having paid perfectly these dual debts, or creep away silent, fearful, considering maybe a little compromise? It's only a penny, after all. But like the Jews of old, carry that coin and you're done. Betrayed by one little gesture on your part. Remember those who were not brave ended up the worst of all, doing things they never thought they would. You are Christ's. His fortitude is in you. This coin is the bread of the brave, of angels, and of the brave. And it is in you. His coin is not in your pocket. His image is not there. For a moment, this precious coin rests upon your tongue and your mouth, and then in your heart, but stamped always and forever in gold on your soul. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.